Amen. Hey, Melissa O'Ree, can you give her a round of applause, please? She's fantastic. She works with us on staff, and she makes us all much, much, much better. If you're new with us, my name's Peter Anderson. I'm the senior pastor here at FBH, and can I just say it feels like the Sunday between Christmas and New Year's? Like it I don't know if anybody else is feeling that right now, but Brian was like, we got to do one service next year on that weekend. There's like 20 kids over there, and all the volunteers are bored. It's like, cool. So we're canceling the 11 today, just so you guys are just kidding. But a couple things that I do want to draw your attention to. One, like Melissa said, end of year giving, that is coming up. And so we have had a good year. We continue to have a good year. But a lot of the money that we have as an overage for the year end goes to things like special building projects, goes to things like camp scholarships, different things like that. And so if you're looking to get your giving in before the end of the year, please, please, please do that. And then you can just pray for our staff as a whole because, man, I got here and Pastor Jeff's gone and Mike is sick and Brian just had a kid. Like, I'm the only one who's at full capacity right now, I feel like. I know, which is never a good thing if I'm the only one who's operating at full capacity for the life of our church. And so that being said, we had a great Christmas Eve service. Like Melissa said, I hope you joined us. And this really is kind of like purgatory week for a lot of churches, like not in like the theological sense that we're going to be talking about purgatory or anything, but like that Sunday between Christmas and New Year's, like you don't want to start something new, but it's like everybody's starting to put, a lot of people are starting to put Christmas stuff away and everything like that, like the lights at FBH are down, you know, all of that stuff. And so you don't really want to jump into a brand new sermon series, but you also are like, I'm not going to preach about Christmas again for the sixth time in the last month. And so today we get to do a nice little one-off message, a New Year's Eve message before next week as we get back into the book of Acts and we get to wrap up the book of Acts in the first 2 months of the year. Which is exciting because, man, we have been in Acts forever, and it's great and it's fantastic. We're going to wrap that up and then move on. But as we look kind of into 2025 and specifically look at the way what the new year brings and all that, like goals are on people's minds, and I think there's one thing that is kind of like this overarching goal that you tend to see when it comes to New Year's, whether it's, you know, you want to get buff before summer, you want to like be more intentional with your marriage, you want to read the Bible in a year. Everyone's goal at the end of it, like the heart of all of that, is simply just to lead yourself well. And the way to be able to lead yourself well is to consistently pursue growth, right? Pursuing growth is one of the ways that we can have a life that you are consistently like pushing yourself to be better in some way, shape, or form. Here's one thing I know. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, and I don't know if you're like infancy, like you came on Christmas Eve and you're like, you know what, I'm going to come back next week, or maybe you're here for the first time, or you have been a Christian for the last 80 years of your life. I don't know where you're at. All of us are capable of continuing to experience growth in our lives when it comes to our faith. Because there's not a single one of us in here, to be clear, that has it all down. There's not a single guru in the place. And if you come in with the attitude like, I've heard it all before, I've read the Bible 1,000 times, like I know everything that I'm doing, like I don't really need all of that extra stuff, like simply you're wrong, right? But if you come in with the attitude of like, I don't know it all, maybe there's some wisdom I don't know yet, I think you'll enjoy what we're going to be talking about today, which is simply the idea of pursuing growth. And one of the humbling things, the very humbling things about my job is that a lot of people come and they ask me like spiritual questions, a lot of times tough spiritual questions. I'm having an email conversation with a guy that I met a couple weeks back who is just trying to like find his faith. And he's asking me some really, really tough questions in those emails. And I'm really happy they're emails because then I can like look stuff up and pretend like I'm smarter than I am. but a lot of people come and have those questions for me, like things like, does a baby who dies in the womb go to heaven? Or if God knows everything, how is it that we actually have the ability to choose God, right? That whole idea of like predestination versus free will, or Or how do you know the Bible is inerrant in all that it affirms? Or my personal favorite, like, tell me your thoughts on the book of Revelation and end times. Man, like a year and a half ago, we had like 57 small groups going through the book of Revelation at the same time. And I was like, you're not going to like my answer. but all of these are tough. And like, they make my job pretty humbling that people would oftentimes like seek me out to ask those questions. And one of the nice things though about my job and my confidence with where God has placed me is that I'm okay saying, like, that's a great question. I don't know the answer, but I'd love to be able to track it down. And the reason that that's, like, I enjoy doing that, I enjoy saying that, is because it enables me to grow spiritually as I continue to learn and I continue to figure out who God is, one question and one challenge at a time. Because there's lots of us in here who've been to church a long time, others newer to faith. But wherever you're at on that spectrum, I want you to realize there's always ways and opportunities for you to grow spiritually, right? Spiritual growth, it's not like height. A lot of people assume, well, I made it this far, you know, my oldest son is 5'11 and 3/4, and I refuse to tell him he's 6 foot until he hits 6 foot. But he's 5'11 and 3/4, and he's like, if I can just get just like a little bit more, and I'm sure he'll get there and all that stuff. But you don't cap out in your faith like you do oftentimes with your height. It's like weight, right? And that's kind of a terrible analogy going into New Year's, but it's like weight, right? Because the more that you feed yourself, the more you are going to grow. And like, I know, as I wrote that, I was like, oh, that's good. And like many of us have seen, like over the holidays, right, there doesn't seem to be like a maximum number you can hit. You just kind of keep growing. So today we're going to be talking about how to lead yourself well in the realm of spiritual growth. Here's a couple things that I want you to know what it means to pursue growth. Because we are, I don't know if you know, but our church, we're associated with a group called Growing Healthy Churches. And essentially, we used to be American Baptist Churches of the West, and people ask, like, what's your denomination? Who are you affiliated with? All those questions. And so American Baptist Churches of the West, they broke up. There's Southern Region and Northern Region. And so the Northern Region is now called Growing Healthy Churches. And I work a lot with Growing Healthy Churches, with GHC, and I help other pastors and different things like that. And so we asked the question at one of our meetings a year and a half ago when all of the leadership changed and all of that stuff, like, what does it mean to be healthy? What does it mean to be a healthy church? Because if we're going to call ourselves Growing Healthy Churches, we really have to figure out what it means to actually be healthy so we know what we're actually shooting for. And some of the things that we came up with is just simply the idea that it is healthy to to grow. It's a measure of health that something is growing. If something's growing, it's healthy. My wife, I don't know, I mean, most ladies in the room, she loves roses. And so when we had a bunch of roses, she took time to figure out how to prune them and care for them. And as she did, man, those things just took off, and there was like bud after bud and flower like over flower, like all the, like they just kept growing. Growing is a measure of health. If something grows, it's healthy. If something doesn't grow, it's not healthy. Now hear me, I'm not just talking numerically, okay? Because oftentimes I think in the church, specifically the Western church, we always got to say like, oh yeah, we beat our last number. And that is an important statistic, but that is not the end all, be all of growth. Jesus wants us to grow. And Jesus wants us to grow for one reason and one reason only. He wants us to be healthy. So in John 8:31 and 32, he says, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Right? Even if you're new to church, you've probably heard that, right? The truth will set you free. Like, God wants us to be free. He wants to set you free on this planet, like this playground that we call Earth. He doesn't want us to be trapped by things that the world offers. He doesn't want us to be trapped by the behaviors or hang-ups or sinful situations or anything like that. He wants us to be free. So if we decide to be healthy, to grow, then freedom is one of the things that we get to look forward to, and we get to look forward to it because of the fact that growth is enjoyable. And I think oftentimes we forget that. Growth is enjoyable. Man, when we got into like that whole COVID era and all of that stuff, like everybody's growth seemed to just be stunted. And we forgot about the fact that growth is fun. Growth is enjoyable. The results of growing are great results. Like, I know for me in high school, when I was a freshman, I was 5'4". I mean, just really tall. And in about a year and a half, I grew 8 inches, right? And there were times where it was like painful, and not just like painful for me because I was like growing and like my knees hurt and my joints hurt, but also painful for people to try to watch me like walk because I was so gangly and so like just, you know, like I just could not figure out how to walk correctly. But in that time, like it is, sometimes it's painful. Sometimes growth is painful. But at the end of it, it was enjoyable, right? I am very glad. No offense to you, short kings out there, but I'm very glad I am not 5'4", right? I'm glad I'm still taller than my oldest son. And so it was fun. It's enjoyable. And that's what, like, spiritually as well, if we say this is going to be important to us, if we say our faith is going to be important to us, we're going to have the things that are fun, that are enjoyable. Jeremiah says this about growth in Jeremiah 15, 16. He says, "When your words came, I ate them," which is kind of weird. "I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, Lord God Almighty." Right, the growth that comes from God is sustaining. Sustaining. The growth we get from God, it brings joy, it brings delight, and that's what God wants for our lives. It's not always easy for us to grow. In fact, oftentimes there's situations and encounters that will happen in your life that produce growth, and these are going to be some of the most difficult situations that you're ever going to face. Right, we grow through times that are tough. We grow through tragedy. We grow through the disaster. And those things aren't fun in themselves, but they produce something that is fun. Right? I was thinking about a way that I could describe this to you. And I think the best way to describe it is Sarah and I, we were, back when we were dating, we were like 20 at the time. It was like a year ago. I'm just kidding. I'm coming up on 40 here in 2 months, guys. But I know. But Sarah and I were dating. We're like 20 years old, and I was really into hiking at the time. And so I was like, "Hey, tomorrow I'm gonna go hike Half Dome. Do you want to come and hike Half Dome with me?" Sarah was not a hiker. She was a swimmer. Like, she's a fish, right? Like, she lived her life in the pool, which is great. And she played college water polo. So I'm like, "Oh, this will be no problem. We'll go. We'll hike. We'll get to the top of Half Dome. We'll come home. It'll be great." And so we're just cruising. What I failed to tell my wife, my now wife, my then girlfriend, was like, "It's really important for you to eat food before you hike, and like fuel yourself, because you have to start at like 5 a.m. to be able to get up and down by the time that the sun goes down." And so she didn't eat breakfast, and she brought one single bottle of water with her, and she got really mad at me on that hike. But by the time that we got to the top, and the goal was, "Hey, we're gonna get to the top, we'll eat lunch at the top, and then we'll hike down, and it'll be great." By the time we got to the top, we had already eaten our lunch, and she had drank a bunch of my water, so she wasn't as mad at me. But once we get to the top, you sit there and you look out at all of Yosemite. You have an incredible view of all of Yosemite, and you just think to yourself, regardless of the challenge that it was for us to get up here, man, this was completely and totally worth it, right? Like, I know it was tough, and at the bottom, before you get to the chains on Half Dome, like, literally Sarah was like trembling because she didn't eat food. But by the time we got to the top, it was like, I would absolutely do it again. It was hard, but were the results enjoyable? Absolutely, the results are enjoyable. Because growth is a challenge. But is it worth it? Absolutely, it's worth it. And then growth is also God's design. All right, God has a good plan. He knows what growth is all about. It says so in John 15, 4 and 5. Jesus talks about where you and I would best grow spiritually. He says this. He says, "Remain in me and I'll remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. You must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Apart from me, you stay 5'4". And so if you decide, like, yes, I want to do this. Yes, I want to be a part of this. Yes, like, spiritually, I want to grow. And we remain in him. If we remain in God, then really, you will grow. And we'll grow in such a way that our lives will produce benefits. Like other people look at our lives and go, man, there is something happening there. There is something going on there in that person's life. I don't know if this is true for you, but there are people whom I have met or people that I worked with or whatever that like I go and I talk with them and you can just tell they have sat in the presence of the Lord and sat in his word. There is a heaviness to them almost as they talk with you. And as they share with you, I actually had a friend of mine, he actually used to be my landlord when we lived down in Apple Valley, come to Christmas Eve services, a guy by the name of Dave, and he was that guy that I was just like, every time I talked to him, I was like, you've been sitting in the presence of the Lord. It's what the Bible calls fruit, that we will largely impact our world because we are growing where the growing is good. We remain in God. But as we kind of move through this, like, and we understand those truths, that growth is healthy and it's enjoyable, it's God's design, you may ask yourself, okay, if that's the case, how come everyone doesn't grow? How come growth then isn't necessarily universal? How come there's a lot of people, even people who are sitting in here this morning, that you just feel like I am stagnating in my growth? Like, I feel like I'm in the same spot now that I was 10 years ago. Like, how come spiritually I'm not taking steps forward? And I will say there are things that inhibit healthy growth. Right, so just like think back to a time in your life when you were just like a tiny, tiny little squirt, when you were so small you didn't even have enough muscles to pick your neck up, right? Pick your head up, not your neck, your head. And you're just like a little baby, right? And at that point in your life, your parents had a choice. They could do things to help you grow, or they could do things to hurt your growth. One of the things they could have done is this. They could have said, you know, we're going to give our kid everything. We're going to give them like the Cadillac crib to sleep in. We're going to give them clothes from Baby Gap. We're going to buy like the car seat that costs like $2,000 that like rotates in the car for some reason. So that way dads don't get as upset when they're taking in and putting out the car seat, right? Like they could have done all of those things. We're going to buy like the little swing and all of that stuff. But you know what? The one thing we're not going to do is we're actually not going to give our kid any food. Right? That's not really obviously a legal option in the state of California, but they like parents could have chosen that. They could have said, we're going to not feed our baby. We're going to give him everything in the world. We're just not going to actually give him the thing that he needs most. And to be clear, that's pretty ridiculous. There are people in here that are doing that to themselves spiritually. Starvation. Some of you are starving yourselves spiritually. You're filling your lives with a million different things, just not the thing that you need most. And I get it, right? Sarah and I are in the thick of it. We all have full lives, okay? I play taxi driver more. Like, I think I drive my car to different kids' events more often than, like, I'm at work sometimes. I'm just kidding. Don't fire me, please. But like our lives are so full, like they're packed to the brim. I had somebody say, hey, can I take you to lunch? And it was like 6 weeks away that I was like, yep, I'm free in 6 weeks if you still want to have lunch with me then. And so like our lives are completely and totally full. You have no time. You say to yourself, like, yeah, you have no time for exploring the truth that God has for us. Or you got no time to meet with a group of other believers. It's just like you and people that you totally love getting together with and being real with one another. Like you are spiritually starving yourself to death. And then you wonder why when you lay at home at bed at night and it's just quiet and it just like feels so empty inside. And you're just like, yep, I guess that's just another day. I guess this is all that life has to offer. And the reality is you haven't fed your soul anything. Hey, we see this all the time. Spiritual starvation, though, is the first problem. It's the first inhibitor of growth. Some of us aren't starving ourselves. Some of us are corrupting our spirits is the second inhibitor of growth. Corruption's the key word there. You're not giving yourself any food spiritually. You're just giving yourself bad food. A few things we can do to our lives spiritually. A few ways we can feed ourselves that hurt us, that kind of poison ourselves, right? And outside of like simple morality of like doing things that God wants you to do, I think the biggest growth inhibitor is just a little thing that we call pride. It isn't something that oftentimes we talk about in church, but really pride is what is at the root of so much sin, right? You and I can have pride in our lives. This can be the most poisonous of all things. It's like the little voice that tells you, like, I don't need any of this. Like, I don't need God. I don't need God's truth. I don't need anybody to tell me how to live my life. I don't need to pray. Prayer doesn't work anyway. Like those things that tell you I am fine just the way I am, like that is a toxin, and that's going to keep you from growing spiritually. And I don't say any of this like point a finger at you and make you feel bad. Like, that's not my job. I just want you to know that this is not new, right? God has known that these two things will keep you from growing, no food and bad food. That's why he writes about it in the Bible in Hebrews 5. It's not going to be on the screen. It says, you've been Christians a long time now. It says, you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the things a beginner must learn from the scriptures. You're like babies who drink only milk and cannot eat solid food. A person who is living on milk isn't very far along in the Christian life and doesn't know much about doing what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature. You have trained themselves to recognize the difference between right and wrong and then do what is right. Right, those three words are the basics of what I'm talking about when it comes to pursuing growth. Like, train yourself to recognize what is right and do it. Simple. And if we don't, we continue to give ourselves bad food, or we continue to starve ourselves and give us no food. Like, spiritually, then we're just like little babies who have kept coming back for milk. And to be clear, it's a pretty ridiculous picture. Like, it's a picture of a grown person acting like an infant. Right, that's what the Bible says. God says if you starve yourself and give yourself no food, or if you poison yourself and give yourself bad food, that's what you're going to be like. You're going to be like an infant. Don't be an infant. Don't go for no food. Don't go for bad food. That's what Scripture tells us. Instead, God says in the same passage, like, let me feed you solid food. He says, let me grow you in your faith. You will be an adult. You will be mature. You will know what is right. You will recognize that, and you will do it. Like, those are some big picture truths that growth is all about. There's good news, though. Because if you're starving yourself spiritually, God wants to feed you. If you're poisoning yourself spiritually, God wants to cleanse you. And it doesn't require like this massively long 15-step program and you have to do X, Y. Like, it does require, though, a couple steps on your part. Like, how do you largely unlock the doors to spiritual growth, specifically as we're looking into 2025? Okay, the first thing is, and this is like a really, really big step, but all of us are going to take this step in two nights when you write down all of your New Year's resolutions. My grandparents, I think this was a tradition, would throw them in the fire. I just thought they didn't want any evidence of what their New Year's resolution was going to be. But I think the most important thing, first, like step one, is you have to decide that growth is actually going to be a priority in your life. You have to decide that it's going to be a priority. Like the verse in Hebrews 12 says, like, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. For those of you who are planning on getting back in shape in January, like, you know it is not easy jumping back in. But if you keep at it, you'll see some results. You'll see benefits in your life. You'll feel better about yourself. And spiritually, there's a lot of similarities here. Like, I know if you decide to make growth a priority, it's going to be difficult to jump in. Because no discipline seems pleasant at the time. It's going to be tough. But if you make it a priority, you stick with it, you'll see benefits. And the Bible also says not only will you see benefits, but the Bible actually says that there's going to be a harvest as well. All right, what's the harvest that they're talking about? It's the idea of righteousness. You'll be able to stand right before God. Peace. Kind of peace that spills out into your life when you're able to stand right before God. And there's some great results there. And another result of it is, like, when the enemy takes shots at you, when the enemy tempts you, the enemy tries to pull you down, you're going to be spiritually powerful. You're going to be able to defend yourself. So make growth a priority. And that's the first step, is just deciding, you know what, in 2025, I am so tired of going through the motions. I am so tired of pretending and just showing up to church. And like, I check that box off and I'm going to go home and live however it is that I want to live. Like, I actually want to get serious about my faith in 2025. Like today, before you leave, decide that spiritual growth is going to be a priority in your life next year. So that's the first one. The second one is discover the people and the programs that are going to help you grow. Hebrews 12 continues. It says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress. So largely, I just want to encourage you to do what this verse says. Like, realize that you're surrounded. There is a crowd of people around you that are witnesses to the same faith that you and I both believe in, and that you would confess to. I would encourage you to step across the line. Find the people. Find the program. Maybe it's here, right? One of the things that we do, we talk about Wednesday nights all the time, and some of you are like, I can't come on Wednesday night. That's cool. We have everything on not Wednesday night as well. Like, Wednesday night you can come, you can grab great food, your kids are taken care of, like, it checks a lot of boxes for you, all those speed bumps that a lot of people are like, well, what am I going to do with my kids? Well, we'll feed them and we'll take care of them. Go to group. Okay, but for some of you who are like, I just can't make Wednesday nights work, I got work stuff that goes late, or, you know, I don't have any kids, but, you know, I've got, just my life is so hectic, or whatever it may be. It's like, great. We got groups on not Wednesdays as well, and it's a great place to jump, a great place to like realize there are others at your stage of life who are starting to walk their faith out in a more mature manner. There's others like at your stage of life who are starting to take the steps to pursue spiritual growth. It allows us to be surrounded by the great crowd of witnesses like Hebrews 12 talks about. And so I would encourage you to go. I would encourage you to get plugged in. And just know that like not everyone that you meet here is going to be a spiritual giant. I think that's like the intimidating side of being new to church. Like, oh man, they're going to see right through me. It's like, maybe, but there's a whole lot of people pretending here as well. Like, fake it till you make it. Don't write that down that I said that, okay? But Apostle Paul, he wrote a bunch of books in the Old Testament, and one of the things that Paul says as he's writing to the people that he's ministering to is he says, follow me as I follow Christ. He says, take a look at my life and take a look at my faith and then follow me as I follow Jesus. My prayer for all of us in 2025 is that like that there is someone like you that you would find in your church or find in your small group, whether it's a friend who is sitting next to you, who encourages you, whatever, a small group leader, that you would just find someone that you can follow as they follow Christ. I've got a buddy in my life named Caleb. He's been my best friend for 26 years. Which I had to do the math, and I was like, no, that's too long. And every time Caleb and I talk on the phone, he is an encouragement to me, or every time we email back and forth, right? And every time I talk to him, I feel challenged to take the next couple steps in terms of my spiritual journey. And I know it's a reality because it happens to me through him regularly. And there are times when I look at him and I'm just like, you know what, I'm going to follow you as you follow Christ. And then he has told me before that, hey, Pete, there are times, he calls me Pete. Hey, Pete, there are times where I look at you and I follow you as you are following Christ. But nothing is going to happen. Nothing is actually going to change unless you personally develop some personal growth habits. I think there's a lot of times in the church where we're like, oh, you got a small group, we got a program, and you can serve, and you can do this, and you can do this, and invite people to church, and all of that stuff, and it becomes like this big corporate program, and you assume that we personally are responsible for your spiritual health. We're responsible for like pushing you forward and giving you some good doctrine and giving you some good theology, maybe some talking points, a challenge here or there. Okay, but at the end of the day, you have to develop your own personal growth habits. Like, I'm not waking you up at 6 a.m. and being like, hey, it's time to read your Bible. If you want me to record like an alarm for your phone doing that, that's fine. I'll do that. Okay, but I'm not coming over to your house, getting you out of bed and saying, hey, it's time for you to start reading the book of Romans. Or, hey, you need to start by praying over your morning or praying over your day. This is like a step beyond attending a program. It's you on your own having a habit that helps you grow. In Psalm 51:6, the Bible says this. It says, "Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place." Like the only way to get truth in your inner parts is to make this personal. It's for you to personally take ownership over your spiritual life and develop some habits that will help you no matter what, no matter where you are. Like, I believe, like, if you are a growing Christian, you have to develop growth habits that aren't dependent on a church program, which is weird because that's like the pastor saying, hey, you don't need church. No, you need that too. Okay, but on top of that, you have to make it a priority in your, like, you have to make it a priority in your life. You have to say, like, I'm going to go for it. And so largely the first habit that I would just encourage you with is just simply spend time with God. Read your Bible, spend time talking with him. Like, oh, what'd you learn at church today? Pastor told me to read my Bible and pray. Great. I will say this. For those of you who are actually interested and you're like, you know what? I just feel stagnant. I just feel like I need a shock to my system, you know. On Wednesday, that's January 1st, okay, I'm going to try something new with a buddy of mine by the name of Evan. He's been doing this thing for the last like 4 or 5 years. And he's encouraged me every year, and I'm like, nah, I'm not going to do that. And the reason I'm not going to do that normally is because he reads the Bible in 30 days, the entire Bible in 30 days. It's called the 30-day shred, so even if you're not planning on working out, you can pretend like you are just by reading the Bible, which is pretty fantastic. And this program both terrifies me and excites me at the time. And so I will say this. If you are interested in doing this, okay, Melissa, she's going to post to Facebook a link to the Bible app. A lot of you guys have the Bible app on your phone. Okay, it's the program that I'm a part of. Like, you can follow along on the program, all that stuff. But I'll tell you what, this is not for the weak-hearted. Okay, like, I am terrified of this. And one of the reasons that I want to do it and share the plan with you all is so you guys can all be like, hey, did you read your 73 chapters today or whatever it's going to be? Like, nope, guess I'm staying up late, right? So that's the first thing. And maybe you're like me where it's like you've read the Bible numerous times. And you're just like, okay, I remember the story. Yeah, Genesis 3, fall of man, there's creation in 1 and 2. Then it gets a little stale once I get to, like, the prophets because I don't understand what they're saying. Like, maybe for you, you're a lot like me in that sense, and this could just be, like, a good shock to your system. So, like, please go for it. Like, do the 30-day shred or, like, read the Bible in chronological order rather than the way that it's grouped or read one chapter of Proverbs per day for an entire month, right? It's a perfect, perfect length. It can help you get maybe like to see the Bible in a new light or a different light than you have in the past. Or maybe you've never opened your Bible. Sweet. Open the Bible to the book of Mark and just read the book of Mark. It's fast. Like, it's action-packed. For those of you guys who like explosions and movies, read the book of Mark. Okay? And it's going to give you the entire gospel message in a very, very real and a very, very understanding way. So I don't know what it is, like what plan you have in place to spend time in the Word, but the bottom line is you have to do it. That's step one. The other one that I would say is really, really important is accountability. It's where you get together with other people. They love each other, people that get real together, they pray for one another. It's this entire idea. It's like what we have predicated like the entire growth of our church on is our small groups. That's why every week we talk about Wednesday nights. Like, hey, you should come to Wednesday nights. You should come to Wednesday nights. It's because this piece is so, so important to be able to sit knee to knee with somebody. Or for you guys, if you want to go shoulder to shoulder, that's fine too. And just like talk about faith and talk about struggles and like be honest with each other. And there's a bunch of other things as well that you could add in, but I would say those are the most important too. There's obviously involvement in the church body, there's tithing, there's prayer, there's serving, there's being intentional with other people. Like, all of these habits are important. All of these habits are available to you. We want you to grow. And can I just say, as I invite the band onto stage, like, I just want to tell you, like, if you intentionally develop these personal habits, then I am confident in 2025 you'll grow. I have no fear for you in your life that, like, spiritually you're going to tank yourself. So just, like, make a decision and, like, go for it. I think so often we are so concerned about, like, well, I don't want to read the wrong thing, or maybe I'm really waiting to hear what God has for my life before I decide to do something. I think we get caught up in questions like that are the same as, like, God, do you want me to take the red car today or the blue car today? And I'm not going to decide which car I'm going to take until you tell me the color. I mean, just get into a car. Just start moving forward, man. And God will take care of the rest. And if he doesn't want you to go in that direction, he'll make it abundantly clear. But I honestly think the biggest thing is for us just to decide to start moving forward. And have a picture in your life that is like a long perspective, right? The spiritual journey is not a 100-yard dash. The spiritual journey is a marathon. And I want you to stick with it till the end and continue to pursue God. Like Philippians 1:6 says, he says, I'm sure that God who began a good work in you will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus comes back again. Right? Like, I'm a work in progress. Okay? If you know me, you know that for a fact. I'm a work in progress. And God has started this work in me in the same way that God has started this work in you. Like, he is the one who is going to finish it as well. So let God do his work. You and I can just do the possible. Like, we can see these things, but God is the one who is able to do the impossible. God will do the life change. God will help you grow spiritually, but you have to stay connected to the vine. If you're not and you're, like, confused, you're like, well, I was at church. Yeah, that's fine. You're at church. You have to be connected to the vine. You have to be connected to Christ. Like, when I look back at my life over the last decade, I can honestly tell you that I'm a different person now than I was 10 years ago. And not all good. Some of it's worse now than it was 10 years ago. And some of it's a whole lot better. But I am confident that God will continue to grow you in the same way. That's what he's about. He loves to see this happen. And so as you run into 2025 in just a couple days, you got to make it a priority. You do the possible. Find the people and the programs that help you. You develop those habits. Develop that picture of your life that's kind of the long haul perspective. And then allow Christ to do the impossible. But I would challenge you this morning, on a day that, man, we got half our worship team sick and Pastor Jeff is gone and our heater's broke and like a purgatory day in church. So, you know, that day that, like, they didn't hype up or anything like that and there was nothing super spectacular, that's the day that I made my spiritual growth a priority in my life and I ran into 2025 with eyes wide open, connected to the vine. Why don't you pray with me, church? Heavenly Father, God, I just, I'm so thankful for your church. I'm thankful for these people. I'm thankful that even in the fog and in the midst of a week where everybody's supposed to stay in their pajamas, that they showed up today. And showed up to be challenged and showed up to hear more about you and more about your son. And so, God, I do pray for our church and our spiritual health as we walk into 2025. That our prayer would simply be, God, I just want to remain in you. I just want to remain in you. And maybe for you this morning, you have never said yes to him. You've never been attached to the vine ever. You've never said yes to Jesus. And you want to make a real spiritual change in your life. You could simply pray along with me. Simply say, Father, A, I admit that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And I repent of that sin. I know I fall short, Father. But help me grow. Because B, I believe that you sent your son to die on a cross for me. And apart from that, man, I can do nothing. And so, Father, I choose to follow you. I choose to follow you every single day. And I choose to follow you throughout 2025 and beyond. I love you, Father. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.